powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Tim Harden. Tim, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Thanks, Corey. I appreciate the time.
I'm looking forward to this episode, but before we really get into it, Tim, can you tell our listeners who you are, right? What got you to this point in your life, and who do you work for, and what's your job title?
Well, we'll start with who I work for. I work for Epicor Software, which is an organization that's about $1.1 billion in revenue. And we serve what we call the make, move, sell economy. We operate an ERP platform and a number of wraparound solutions, primarily for auto in the data services area. But that services manufacturing, hard lines, distribution. We have a number of really large clients out there that people would see on their street corner, like Ace Hardware or Napa or Pep Boys. So there are some really, really large customers in our customer set that use us to really keep everything from what you make to where you put it to how you sell it in motion in the economy. As far as my personal journey, I'm the Senior Vice President for Global Data Services and Extend Services at Epicor. What does that mean? I'm responsible for what we would term our data services platform, which includes payments, our payments gateway that goes across multiple industry, our global EDI business, and then our auto segment, which primarily serves the aftermarket, but as we'll talk about today, is being pulled into the franchise dealer space with some demand that we're seeing in the after sales area. I've been in the industry for over 25 years in auto and auto aftermarket, and primarily, that journey started with ADP Dealer Services, which ultimately became CDK Global. I've been with Epicor for roughly 3 years. It'll be 3 years in June. Joined the business to take a look at what we were doing in the auto segment, and I'm super excited about the journey that Epicor is on and what we represent in the market.
It sounds really exciting. Thank you for sharing your journey and what you do for the company, Tim. Let's just jump right into this episode. Why do you consider the aftermarket sale an untapped opportunity for dealerships?
Well, I think I would consider it, as I thought about the question, untapped is probably a little bit, a little tough as a term for dealerships that are doing really great in the after sales area. I would call it sub-optimized, meaning it's more difficult than it has to be, in our view, for dealers to seamlessly locate and, you know, simply put, have visibility into the aftermarket parts available in their local areas. You know, this is the feedback that we're getting from our customers and prospects that are in conversation with us about moving into the franchise dealer space or providing services to them to help them have a view of how to get the right part to the right place at the right time. And we're seeing that with many of the larger dealer groups that are in the marketplace today. And we've introduced a suite of technology solutions over the last few decades that have helped us and helped our customers in the automotive aftermarket. But we're seeing that franchise dealers can take advantage of those software solutions in every aspect of after sales, parts, tire, service, opportunities throughout the life cycle of all of their vehicles, regardless of the make or the model.
Can you tell me a little bit about the all makes, all models, all year parts, tires, and service market?
Yeah, so if you go back in time, there was a time probably 40 years ago, and even further back than that, when these parts catalogs existed in paper form, and you would walk into an aftermarket parts provider, and you would say, "Hey, do you have an oxygen sensor for my vehicle because the engine light's on?" Mm-hmm. And they'd say, "Oh, let me take a look." And they would pull out this really thick catalog and they would look through it and try and get their eyes on some part that they might have available. And then they'd go look for it in the store. We identified an opportunity there just to digitize that environment back in the 80s. And so 40 years ago, Epicor was the pioneer in pulling together that all makes, all models view for our customers and distributing that electronically so that they didn't have to pull that catalog open. They could look for it online. And as that grew and our expertise grew in the marketplace, a number of manufacturers and distributors began providing data into that catalog. So it became the most robust content provider in the marketplace for all makes, all models views, so that regardless of what vehicle you had, either outside of your parking lot with someone that was going to do it themselves or somebody in your service bay that was going to have you do it for them, you could find out if you had the part, was a part available, and if it wasn't available, where could you find it within the Epicor parts network?
Wow, that's really impressive. So there are a lot of dealers out there that the owner came from the sales side of it, doesn't really know much about fixed or parts, right?
Yeah.
So many dealers would tell you that own the company would say, hey, we're really active in this area already. What would you say to that?
I would say they are absolutely right. They are active. But activity doesn't necessarily mean achievement. And I think that there are a lot of dealers that are super active. And if you look at their absorption rates on the back end, them really, really well-run dealerships that are out there. But 68 to 72% of the after-sales market is controlled by the independent or non-dealer parts and service providers. That's probably a stat that they may not know that it's that high. And so we think that, again, this goes back to my comment around it being sub-optimized, not necessarily untapped. There are dealers that are tapping into that market. So I think that there's a lot of activity around it, but if you just think about the user experience where you have someone behind a counter many times within a dealership, if they get to a point where they're servicing a vehicle that's a little older and they're going to purchase an aftermarket part to go onto that vehicle that they don't have in stock, they may have to punch out of their current user experience, whether it's with CDK or Reynolds or Cox Automotive or whatever dealer management system they have, and they're having to go to another user interface. It might be from, let's call it AutoZone, Pep Boys, or one of the distributors or independents that they have a relationship with in their local area, and they're having to go out of one platform and go into another. We believe we can make it easier by bringing that aftermarket view of the channel together with what they're seeing in the OE space and make it easier for them to order those parts without having to bounce from one system to the next. And when you're doing that, it creates time. And lags in time that frankly impact your customer experience. And that's one of the reasons that customers aren't as trustworthy of their dealerships, perhaps working in the aftermarket area on older vehicles versus what's covered under warranty.
Wow, that's fascinating that you mentioned that, because the customer experience is crucial for that customer to come back, right? To retain that customer. So this all makes, all models, all years, parts, tires, and service is really interesting how you elaborate on that. So what factors are driving its growth in your mind?
Well, you know, just one other KPI that I think is important for dealers to understand, and they certainly live this every day. Dealers lose an average of about 60 to 75% of after sales revenue on vehicles that are older than 3 years old, so 3 to 6 years, and 80 to 90% of cars over 7 years of age. And when you think about where we are in the market today with vehicles just getting older in general, simply because of everything that we've gone through over the last few years, it does leave a lot of revenue on the table. So I do think that there's an opportunity here for dealers to take advantage of that. And I think they can grow that share primarily by building trust with the customers. I think that there is still a lack of trust in a dealership that would work on a, let's say you own a Chevy franchise, right? And you want to own every vehicle in the household and do the work for. So Tim has, I have a Chevy, I have a Dodge. Let's say that that I have a Toyota as well. And you may be able to work on all of those vehicles with the technicians that you have in the bay, but there may be a lack of trust from a consumer perspective that you actually have the expertise or the parts availability to work on all makes, all models. We think we can equip dealers to get that trust into the mind of the consumer. And if they can do that, then they can get into that sub-optimized market and win some of that share back they're losing after that 3 to 6 year timeframe.
Yeah, because obviously customers will buy from people they know, love, and trust. So just like you said, if I love the dealership that I go to, why wouldn't that dealership want all the business, whether it's a Chevy, Ford, or Toyota, right? So conveying that to the consumer that we are equipped to do that is really genius. I love this model that you guys are going with. So here's another question that just popped into my head. Why are many dealers at a competitive disadvantage when trying to address this opportunity?
Well, I think it's a, I think it's probably a couple of things. First of all, if you look at just the supply chain disruption over the last 3 years that we've been dealing with, without getting into restating the obvious that everybody's been experiencing around supply and demand and availability of used vehicles, availability of new vehicles, and some of the things that we've just at a macro economic level we've had to deal with. I think that one of the difficulties that organizations have had is how do they communicate with their customers and make sure that their customers understand that they can do the work on the vehicles. And I think that the other thing that may be a competitive disadvantage is that things have been pretty good for the last couple of years when you think about pricing and some of the profitability levels on new cars even going up simply because you just had some supply and demand price elasticity going on that was driving prices up. And I think that now that's normalizing, and it will take it some time to do that all the way. We understand that. But now that it's normalizing, there are some things that are becoming more visible. For example, I think that one of the competitive disadvantages that organizations, and forget about whether it's a franchise dealer or even independent, I think one of the disadvantages that people have competitively is, do they have mobility services? So I took a little bit of time to get to this point, but I think that mobility services, and you're seeing this with organizations and growth like RepairSmith, for example, which is now part of AutoNation. I think that is an area where going to the consumer and doing the work there on the vehicle, especially when you have so many more people working from home and they're not even thinking about driving to get services anymore because everything's brought to the house. Mm-hmm. I think that that's an area, mobility services, which is really a key area for people to focus on. And we're seeing that. Where does Epicor come in there? Well, if you're enabling mobility services, you have to have access to content to tell you, do you have the right parts on the truck or in the van, or are you equipped close enough to get to some place where you can get the part and deliver that within 30 minutes of the time that you want to have the appointment with the consumer? So I think that mobility is a big key to that. And a lot of dealerships just haven't invested in that as much on the service side.
Yeah, I truly like the mobility part of the service department. If you would have told me 10 years ago that we would be at that point where someone would be in my driveway doing an oil change, tire rotation, and replace my wiper blades, I would have said, you're nuts.
Right.
Right. But here we are. I mean, Ed Roberts in Florida has almost 10 trucks for his Ford dealership, and he's doing it on a regular basis. Not only is he going to people's homes, but he's also going to other dealerships and performing recalls on their inventory on the lot.
Yeah, and those are the forward-thinking dealerships. We see some of that in the aftermarket as well, that they're out ahead of the game. They understand that mobility services, and that's why I said it's suboptimal versus untapped. There are those out there that see the future in mobility, and they're going to meet the customers where they are because guess what? You and I are living our lives, and every other provider, for the most part, is meeting us where we are. We literally just unpacked four or five bags of groceries that were dropped off at the front door this morning. You know, we're fortunate to have been able to do that, but still it came to us because my wife and I both work, and just getting to the grocery store with five kids can be tough sometimes.
Yeah. And that's a lot of kids too. You're outnumbered. I'm sorry to hear that. So do you think the aftermarket independent dealer has to work harder to grab that customer than the franchise dealer?
I don't think so. I think it's the other way around. I think that for the first 3 years of a vehicle's life cycle, no. I think that the franchise dealer space, just from the mindset of trust, I think that a consumer says, well, it's under warranty, so I'm going to take it to the dealership. But once you get into that 3 to 6 year timeframe, I actually think it's harder for the franchise dealer because I just use myself and our family as a, you know, we have 1, 2, 3, you know, a number. We've got two kids that are driving, one that's starting to drive. And then Michelle and I both have a car, right? So we typically are about convenience, and we find ourselves, we've been to the franchise dealer, but we're also using independents. And I think that both of our vehicles, mine's 7 years old, Michelle's is 10, and we're in that demographic where we hang on to those cars for a long time. And that convenience factor, that mobility factor, we find ourselves using independent shops more and more on those older vehicles, because frankly, there's probably a higher level of trust, I think, for consumers overall, that they're getting a better price. And I don't even know how you quantify that, but I think there's some level of trust in a better price if you go to an independent shop. And that's because there's probably some belief that aftermarket might have a more cost-effective model for you. And I think that mindset for the consumer is something that dealers are having to overcome.
So let's put your dealer hat on for a second. What is Epicor's role in helping the dealer tap into this market to gain that customer's trust where they have a 10-year-old vehicle to get them to come back?
Well, I think we have a number of different platforms that we've developed over the years, and they're really broken down into a few different tranches. The first one, let's just talk about content. From a catalog perspective, for a digital parts catalog, when it comes to a data factory putting out the most robust content to give you access to what's available and where it's available, we are the best in the segment, and I think we can bring that into the franchise dealer space and really enhance what they're looking for around their local community to ensure that they're getting that part there in a convenient manner so that they can build trust with their customers that they can service whatever vehicle is brought in. Number one is content. Number two, we do have a number of digital marketing and CRM platforms that are leveraged by independent shops that are used to control the message and the narrative with their customers to ensure that they're reaching out to them to make sure they understand when service is available, when they come in, what service denied, what comes up when your vehicle is in the drive, what's the estimate? It's accurate because you've got the parts availability, you understand the labor operations, et cetera. But in addition to that, what services are required at that time for vehicles of that age? So I think there's another area there where you can communicate with your customers to ensure that they understand what services are available and how you can deliver them in a convenient manner for the customer. So a CRM platform as well. And then just leveraging that a little further into the analytics area, we do a number of things, and this is an area where we're getting some demand in the franchise dealer space, is we do a number of things around data analytics that take that foundation of the parts catalog and the what we understand from an Epicor parts network perspective, the parts movement in the marketplace, and we're able to produce reporting around parts failure rates and other things like that that can be consumed by manufacturers or distributors that would say, what's the next part I should make? If I understand what the failure rates are in the marketplace, then maybe I need to optimize my inventory based on the time of year or based on the part. And we've seen a number of different inventory changes made by manufacturers and distributors for things like oxygen sensors, because they've been able to create new families of products out there that allow customers to be really just increase the level of the customer experience that they're delivering in the aftermarket area. So I think that data analytics and our ability to report on the market and what's happening, our ability to provide a platform where you can communicate with your customers and give them the confidence that you know what you're doing. And then that's backed up by content solutions that allow you to look into the channel and really get the visibility into availability of parts. Those three areas are the areas where we can really equip the dealer.
Wow, that's interesting, because I mean, I worked in the parts department for a little bit, and it was either I had too many of this one part that never got sold, or I didn't have enough of the other part that I had to do a lost sale on. So you're telling me that you guys can actually foresee that, hey, this part is going to be on more demand. This is one you should have in stock or keep close to ordering, right?
We can, and in the very near term, meaning in the next few months, I'm working with a couple of organizations now. Just, and when I say a couple of organizations, these are technology organizations that are going to provide us the scale that we need to scale a couple of these products from a tech perspective. The proof of concepts are already done. We're working on a couple of things. One would be our predictive inventory assistant. So we also have an ERP platform we provide in the aftermarket that isn't necessarily for franchise dealers, but part of that which will also be leveraged by franchise dealers over time, is our predictive inventory assistant. And what it does is it looks at the parts movement and it begins to automate high frequency decisions that you would make around inventory, so that if we have the proper integration with CDK, Reynolds, Cox Automotive, Tekion, other DMS providers that are in the marketplace, Automate would come to mind as well, then we would be able to automate the inventory decision. Now, clearly, users would have to trust that technology over time, but we have the machine learning and AI behind it that I think we have something really, really good to offer our dealers and our independent dealers over time.
Yeah, it sounds like you have some major horsepower behind you.
We do. We've been really, really fortunate over the last few years. This business really grew up in data services. And what I mean by that is it's a use case. Data as a service is a really, really broad term in the marketplace. But a digital parts catalog is really about your purest definition of a data service use case. It's a large content-driven data platform that handles inquiries to find something within it to say, this is where we need to have a part in inventory. So we've had that foundation that we've built upon, and our organization, our senior executive team, and CD&R, which is the owner of Epicor overall, has been super, super aggressive in investing with us. And just over the past couple of years, we've invested a few million dollars into this business to make sure that we have products that are going to be available for not just the independent market, but there's been a very intentional move on our part to ensure that we're available and offering services in the franchise dealer space. And here's the reason why. We're future-proofing the business. If you look at just aftermarket overall, about 70% of after sales happen in the independent space. 30% of the aftermarket sales today happen in the franchise dealer segment. It could be over time that shifts from 70-30 to 60-40 or 50-50. Who knows, right? But right. Definitely with the change in the way that the market is viewing EV and other platforms that will be coming into the marketplace over the next 5 to 10 years, it could be that dealers have an opportunity to grab more share. And if they do, it's only prudent from Epicor's perspective to make sure that we can service not just all makes, all models and have the content for that, but that we can service all of the customers in the marketplace that may have demand for that content. So we believe that it's a great position for us to take, and we're somewhat neutral from that perspective because we provide the data and then we leave it to the customers to win on customer experience.
Wow. That's fascinating. So if I'm a dealer owner principal, how can I learn more about the all makes, all models, all years opportunity?
Well, there's certainly plenty of information available on epicor.com. You'll find a section there that just calls out automotive as our segment. And there's a great deal of content behind that I think would be a great place to start, including an ROI calculator that would allow you just to go in. And this is one of the things that I love to do is make it easy for our customers and potential customers to go in and just play around with how many ROs do you have? And here are some industry statistics and benchmarks that you can plug in. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just go in and plug those numbers in and it'll give you a fairly accurate estimate of what money you might be leaving on the table. And from that point, there's certainly opportunities there to make an inquiry to people that we have available, whether it's Kevin Kakos or Jake Ashendorf or myself. You know, we have a team of about 30 people that are in our go-to-market group that service both the franchise dealer space and the independent space. And so we're happy to put people in touch with the right individuals. And we've been gearing up over the last couple of years and bringing people into our organization that operate on my team that have run dealer groups as large as 12 and have operated in the dealer franchise space for 20 or 30 years. So that we do have a great deal of expertise now building, because I think our customers would expect us to have some street cred in the franchise dealer space if we're going to talk about it.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, if you go in there and that person doesn't have that street cred, if you will, like you said, they're gonna sniff that out and no problem.
That's right.
Right. So Tim, this has been great to talk about. I'd like to dive into this further in a different episode.
Sure.
We're right up against the time right now, but can you tell our audience some three key takeaways from this episode in your mind that an owner, a service manager, an agent, or someone in the leadership at a dealership can really take away from this episode?
Yeah, a couple of things. First would be that what we let off with, it's not untapped. It's just not optimized. And I think that there's an opportunity if you're at a franchise dealer space, and you talked about a couple like mobility services and others that are taking advantage of that. I would encourage you to look and see just how aggressively and how active you really are in the after sales area beyond just warranty. Secondly, it could be easier. And I think that that's the question that we all should be asking ourselves every day. Is it easy enough to do the things that can drive growth in the business? And we all know that parts and service is the area we can drive the greatest profitability. And then finally, do you have the content at your fingertips that you need to get the right part to the right place at the right time? Our North Star is to have that right part, right place, right time within 30 minutes of the time the vehicle goes up on the lift in any zip code in the United States. So I think that if those are areas that are of interest to you as a leader in a franchise dealer space, then we ought to have a conversation.
Oh, thanks for sharing those, Tim. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email, csmith@nationalautocare.com. Tim, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question that I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. I really appreciate the time today.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Pasha. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.